I entitled my message this week, The Thing About Evil. I think we all know that evil exists. Jesus dealt with evil also. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, New Living Translation, the subtitle is When Jesus Healed a Demon-Possessed Man. So they arrived in the land of Gennesarenes, across from the Lake of Galilee. As Jesus climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. Homeless and naked, he lived in a cemetery for a long time. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell to the ground before him, screaming, Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was shackled in chains, he simply broke them, rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. What is your name? Jesus asked. Legion, he replied, for the man who was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons pleaded with him to let them enter into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission, so the demons came out of the man and entered into the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake, where they were drowned. When the herdsmen saw this, they fled to the nearby city in the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, for they wanted to see for themselves what had happened. And they saw the man who had been possessed by the demons sitting quietly at Jesus' feet, clothed and sane. And the whole crowd was afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all of the people in the region begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear had spread over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go too, but Jesus said, No, go back to your family and tell them all the wonderful things God has done for you. So he went all through the city, telling about the great things that Jesus had done. The thing about evil, I think we all realize, because we can see it and understand it, sometimes even feel it, that evil truly exists. Now, not the Hollywood evil, with its vampires and witches and werewolves and fantastical warlords, but the kind that draws true horror to our faces and freezes our heart in fear. Abominations so horrible that we can barely take them in. We've experienced it lately with all the gun violence and all the mass murders here in our own country. So if evil was merely the stuff of horror films and superstitions, we might go about our day relatively unmused and unmoved, waving it off as a flight of fancy. But we all know better, don't we? I'm pretty sure that we do. There's an old saying that reveals that little kernel of truth always underlines every tale or myth. Some of these underlying truths help us to overcome superstitions of folks that we thought were evil. For example, the myth of the vampire may have come from the knowledge of a strange blood disorder called porphyria, but it caused a sensitivity to sunlight, receding gums, and dark red urine, and destruction of facial tissues. This disease has also been known to cause madness. Tales of witches began typically as a persecution against early women healers. You might remember this story. They used herbs and tinctures to salve the wound and aid in childbirth. But when their efforts failed, they often would stand accused of witchcraft. You remember the witchcraft trials in history? But while these manifestations of evil result simply from misunderstood circumstances, true evil is much more superstitious and much more invasive, and it often takes us all entirely by surprise. Why? Because true evil does exist. We see it in the killing incidents, in the mauling of murdering of children and animals, the extermination of entire people groups, abuse of power and people. We can see it in the cold eyes of a serial killer or the compulsive acts of a psychopath. We see it seeping into the systems that persecute the poor and positions that wield power over the powerless. Overwhelmingly, I think the acts that chill us to the bone do so because they are so entirely devoid of empathy, compassion, the human conditions, or conscience. Evil issues in the attributes opposed of those that we attribute to God. They are opposite. We are in a battle of good and evil. True evil exists, both in the opposition and the absence of God. When you take God out of the situations, you let evil run rampant. Evil is superstitious. It defiles God by being sneaky and preying on the helpless. It threatens God's creation, and yet it is a subordinate to God. Now here is what we see Jesus showing us in no uncertain terms today in the scripture that I just read. That no matter how perverse, damaging, insidious, and insistent that evil may be, it cannot stand up to the power of God, and it will be subject to the authority of God. In the events that's recorded by Dr. Luke, today, as we shared, we see Jesus deliberately sailing across the Sea of Galilee, which of course is a lake, to the land of the Gerasenes, a non-Jewish Gentile territory. And as soon as he emerged from the boat, he was met by a man possessed with demons. He was living among the tombstones in the caves outside of the city. He was naked and homeless. Well, we see some of these images today that live around us in some of our major cities. We see people that are demon-possessed, that are homeless and naked and taking drugs and you name it. But as soon as he sees Jesus, two important things happen. The man identified Jesus immediately as the Son of the Most High God. Now, if we remember, Jesus is a person of Jewish belief and culture, and he's in a non-Jewish territory. And this man is non-Jewish. The demon shrieks and begs Jesus not to torture them. The immediate reaction is fear and submission. As the demons converse with Jesus, you know, evil spirits converse with us. We are subject to that. You know, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit who ministers to us, but some of these evil spirits can also converse with us, and these demons were conversing with Jesus, and Jesus gave them permission to enter in a herd of pigs, which as a result rushes down a cliff and drowns into the lake. At that, people who gathered and find the man with demons dressed and completely sane. The demons had departed. At that, the people asked Jesus to leave. Get out of here, Jesus. They feared his power. What else would or could he do? Interestingly, it was easier for them to tolerate evil and allow it to live among them in the tombs, which in their peers, than it was for them to allow Jesus and the immense power of God to live among them. Fear the devil, and he shall flee. For in some sense, we all cower before the presence and the power of God. More importantly, we fear what we do not understand. Now, a little word about the pigs. Because pigs were a Gentile animal, basically. They were considered unclean by the Jewish population. And this was also a sign that the pigs here are not cute. Not little piglets like we see. Even people take little piglets as pets. But these are wild boars. We have them in North Florida. We call them wild hogs or wild pigs, and they can be mean and nasty. But they were common to the region, and they were known to be vicious and extremely violent at times. The personality of the wild boar would match the idea of a mad demon. The man essentially had the personality of a wild boar. So this was drowned away. And then think about this. This is terrible, but it's really true. It's kind of a baptismal imagery. Because they were cleansed as though pigs went into the water. And the man's God-given human image was restored. Just a little commentary that I wanted to share with you about those kind of pigs, because we think of pigs today, domestic pigs, although we do have a lot of the wild pigs up here in North Florida. But the people of Jezreel did not understand this Son of God, who could wield power, the power of God, and vanquish evil in one single swoop. Now, they knew Jesus was Jewish. They knew that he was a foreigner, but they were amazed at what he could do. But it was so outside their realm of understanding and experience that they wanted nothing to do with it. So, Jesus did leave them, but not before telling the man that he had healed to tell everyone what God had done for him. Now, that's clever evangelism, amen? We hear the truth more easily from those that we know and trust. But in our day and time, we may not identify evil the same way as the people did in Jesus' day. But we do know it exists. You just turn on the television or the local news and you see evil is out there and is rampant in our society. And sometimes it just seems to come out of nowhere, issuing the mayhem and murder that it causes. Sometimes it seems hard to find the root of it, but its results are undeniable. Perhaps because it is so hard to trace, because it is so slippery, so secretive, so silently insidious, we tend to imagine it's just not there. Until we see its destruction of lives and loss of property and everything else. Its destruction. In our age of science, medicine, psychology, and reason, we tend to negate this idea of evil. But we underestimate evil sometimes to our detriment. It's like sticking your head in the sand and say, well, evil don't exist where I live. Well, the good news is where Jesus is strong, evil will be weak. And where God is present, active, and protective, evil can't persist. Oh, we tend to fear evil. But evil fears good. And it's true in the community of love, evil cannot be forged. It has no root. And the best remedy against evil is always the presence of the living God through Christ, the Son of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. You see, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, whom we encounter in prayer and in praise and in worship and in our baptism, So as we look around and see all the evil around us, just know the peace that passes all understanding comes from God, who loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we talked about the last few weeks on the day of Pentecost and on the Trinity Sunday, we know, and we know that we can. And I invite all of us to pray a prayer of protection. A prayer of protection, or a hedge of protection around all of us. A prayer that we all know as the Lord's Prayer. And I want to pray it with you now as we close this message on the online service. We always use this prayer to close on our pastor's thoughts and prayers. But I want to take it from a different translation. Our Father who dwells in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, just as it's done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive our sins, just as we forgive the sins of those who sin against us. And lead us away from all temptation and deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And may God's people say, Amen. Hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for tuning in to the online message.